Well, thank you, choir and worship team. And that is true. God makes us new. Thank the Lord that He holds our heads up. And we are, in just a moment, going to be moving into our series on being a brand new you. Just before I start the message this morning, I want to make a couple of announcements. I would like to just ask for your prayers for Wanda and I. We will not be here with you for the next couple of weekends, and it's very important when your pastor's not here that you know where he is and what he's doing. And so we're going to be for the next 2 weekends and throughout the week at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. That's a church that Jim Cimbala pastors, and also the church that David Wilkerson founded, that's pastored by a Canadian named Pastor Carter Conlon. Now, I'd like to covet your prayers for those couple of weekends that we're going to be away, that God will, first of all, refresh our hearts, and then secondly, that God would reveal to us some things that we will be able to bring into the good things that God is doing right here at SPA. Now, the truth is, we don't want to be following after any other church. I don't want this church to become like the Brooklyn Tabernacle or like Times Square Church. That's not the purpose. But these are churches that are very Pentecostal, they're very gospel-focused, they're very international. They have very strong prayer ministries. Both of them on Tuesday evenings have what's called an international prayer service that we're going to be able to be a part of. And I do know that when we come back, that there will be some things that God will allow us to bring into the life of our assembly that will take us where God wants us to go. So we covet your prayers for that. And I want to say thank you to we had over 60 people. I was wondering, as we were having our first 11-7, I was wondering how it was going to go with the temperatures being so frigid. But we had over 60 people that came through and prayed all night long from 11 until 7. And so the next time that we have an 11-7, I want to invite you to come. And I was really encouraged. At 7 a.m., there were still over 30 people here. And we closed off that prayer meeting. And so thank you to those who prayed. And I do believe that that the future is good indeed for all of us, as we trust the Lord and as we pray. If you believe that, say amen. And then tonight, I do want you to come, even though it's going to be chilly, it is a chilly evening, but come and make some desserts and cut your desserts in small pieces, because I plan to have as many desserts as I can, but I don't want to kill myself. So let's bring them and cut them in small pieces if they're not cookies, because cookies you can have, but let's cut them in small pieces and let's enjoy them. Today, as we talk about our series, A Brand New You, we're talking about a brand new mind. And as we consider the mind today, I want you to be looking at it from the perspective of what God has done, not only in your heart, but in your mind. If you can think back to the moment when you received Christ. Now, for many of you, you may have the same testimony that I have. Perhaps you grew up in church. And I did, and I knew about Jesus all my life. And if you would ask me as an 8-year-old, as a 10-year-old, even as a 12-year-old, did you believe in Jesus? I would have answered yes. And not only that, but I would have been able to tell you some very specific things about Jesus. However, there's a great big difference about mentally believing in Jesus and about having that relationship with Christ, about having that new birth experience with Him. And so, for every one of you that have that understanding, not only did God give you a brand new heart when you were born again, but God gave you a brand new mind. And so I'd like us to consider the mind that God has given to us. And as we're thinking about that, I want you to realize that your mind was once blind. Even if you had some kind of a mental assent to Jesus, before you knew Christ, your mind was blind. And the reason that it was blind is because we are involved in a spiritual warfare. The scripture says this: Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now, how many of you are here this morning and you know good people? Now, I want you to know that before I knew Jesus, I wasn't a bad sinner. I was a nice sinner. Like, I was a nice guy. But I was still a sinner. I was still lost in my sin. How many of you know people who are good people, but they don't yet know Jesus? How many of you know people who are good people, and they know about Jesus, but they don't yet know Jesus? Well, you know what? These are the people that God has placed in your life that you need to be praying for, because this is their reality. They may say, well, it's nice for you that you believe, and it's nice for you that you attend church, and I'm glad that that works for you, and that works for you and your family, but it's really not my cup of tea. It's not that I don't believe in Jesus, but you know what? I just don't see myself as somebody going to church once or even more than once a week. And so, but God, you know, good for you as that happens in your life. These are the folks that you need to pray for because this is their condition. They are involved in a spiritual battle. They are involved in a spiritual warfare, and Satan has blinded their minds, those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And so your mind was once blind. And you know, there are some very smart, on the human level speaking, there are some, might I even say, brilliant people that don't know Jesus Christ. However, if human understanding and rationale are left to themselves, human understanding and rationale is deceptive. Even in the minds of very smart people, I've taken the time at times in my life to open up scientific journals, like current scientific journals. I'm not talking just about medical studies, but I'm talking about psychology and scientific journals, and open them up. And I want to tell you, there's some very brilliant people that really believe some very stupid things. I mean, in scientific journals, you can read about how this world was created, and it was created by higher beings than us, and they live on planets, and they're going to come back in spaceships. Like, this is not just science fiction. There are people that are really smart that believe that. And so there's a deception to human understanding and rationale if it's left alone. And no matter how smart someone is who doesn't know Jesus, this is what God says about how smart he is. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could ever imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, even so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So there's a deception in the hearts, but also in the minds of people who yet have not believed in Christ, and they're in this spiritual blindness that's deceptive. And if they continue, if people continue in that deceptiveness, left unchanged, human understanding becomes depraved. Not only does it become deceptive, but then left unchanged, the mind of man, even the brilliant mind of man, it becomes depraved because they don't believe in God. Because they've heard the message of Jesus, but they refuse to believe in Jesus. And then something happens in their minds, and they actually, because you see, man was created to have fellowship with God. Man was created to know their Creator. And so when people refuse to believe, something happens to the mind. When they even mentally hear about Jesus and say, well, that's nice for you, but it's not for me, and they kind of ignore the message of the cross and the message of God's love, then depravity begins to set in. And Romans talks about that. It says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to foolish thinking, and let them do things that should never be done. And their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. And you could read about some of the things in Romans chapter 1 that God says he gave them over to. And you know, there's all kinds of things in there that simply are sin. That's simply what it is. A depraved mind gives itself over to sin. And a depraved mind actually starts to call wrong things right, and right things wrong. And a depraved mind, they don't even hide what they're doing anymore. A depraved mind takes these wrong things and says, you know what, it's okay to be like this. And there's something wrong with you if you don't think that this can be done. And so not only does a blind mind lead to deception, and then as someone hardens their heart and hardens their mind, it leads to depravity and people to begin to actually believe and proclaim things that are wrong according to God's word. But the saddest thing about the blind mind is that the pathway of man, the pathway of human understanding leads to death. I'm not talking about physical death. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes. We're all going to physically die. But the Christian who dies and wakes up in the presence of Jesus, wakes up in glory, wakes up in heaven. But the pathway of man that rejects the message of God's love leads to death. Jesus said it like this: there is a path before each person that seems right. So I'm not even talking about someone who says, you know what, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm an atheist, and it's wrong, you shouldn't be saying that Jesus is... I'm not talking about that person. But even the person that says, well, you know, I try to do what's right. You know, I try to love people. I try to do good to people. I try to be a good person. And I figure that if there's a God, like that when I stand before him, he'll let me in because I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. There are no good people. You see, but that seems right. Doesn't that seem like right human thinking? If I don't kill anyone, if I don't hurt anybody, if I'm kind, if I'm generous, if I share my life, if I share what I have with people, doesn't it seem like if there is a God, he'd let me in? You know, that's the path of deception. That's the path of depravity. And that kind of thinking, it brings people to the end of their lives, and they don't go somewhere for a while, but they go to a place, like I said last week, if the heart is not changed, that was never created for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels, they go to a place called hell forever. And so this pathway of man leads to death. And Jesus said, many find it. And you understand that as you look out. You know, if you were to pick 10 random people, I don't mean in the church, but 10 random people that you know, how many of those people know Jesus? How many of those people are born again? The path, Jesus said, is broad, and many find it. But the pathway to life is narrow and few find it because it's the pathway of the cross. Now, as the Church of Jesus Christ, this is our task. You know, the spiritual warfare that we're involved in is described right in the name of our church, Southside Pentecostal Assembly, or as you see it on the front of this pulpit, SPA for Life. Would you say that with me, please? SPA for Life. Well, the for life part is John 10:10. It talks about the spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle. And Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more. And so that's our heart at Southside Pentecostal Assembly. And SPA for Life is just a way for us to tell people that don't know Jesus yet what you do on the weekend. What do you do on the weekend? Well, I go to SPA. Every weekend I go to a SPA. Really? Tell me about it. So tell them about it. And how do we tell them about it? Well, we've got a mission that's on our bulletin every week, and if you know it, you can say it with me. If not, you can read it. We have a mission, and our mission is to be loving God and leading people to the living Lord. It's the Great Commission. It's the Great Commandment. That's what God calls us to do. So your mind was once blind, but good news, your new mind is blessed. Your mind is no longer blind. When you came to Christ, not only was your heart changed, but your mind was changed, and your new mind is blessed. Now, I have to tell you, there's a lot of things that I am personally looking forward to when I get to heaven. And I'm sure there are for you as well. Of course, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Of course, he's the reason we're getting into heaven. I'm also looking forward to seeing some of the prophets and you know, the disciples and some of the people that I'm reading about. And I'm looking forward to seeing them because they're going to be in heaven. I'm looking forward, of course, to seeing friends and loved ones who've died and who've gone into heaven. Of course, I'm looking forward to seeing them and to rejoicing and to spending eternity with Christ and with them. But you know what's one of the things that I'm the most looking forward to? I mean, maybe it's only me. You know, maybe none of you can relate to this, but I just need you to know that this is true for your pastor. Sometimes Doug Krause Jr. doesn't like himself. Sometimes the thoughts that are in my head, because here's how it was. Before I knew Jesus, when I was a nice sinner, like a good sinner, like I wasn't really that nasty, you know, I never had this battle going on in my brain. I just kind of woke up and I did what seemed right to me and I tried to be nice to people and, you know, I never had this battle going on in my mind. And it's probably just me, but I need you to know that now when I gave my life to Jesus, when I was 18, which is 40 years ago, because I'm 58, immediately something happened to my mind. Immediately. And I don't know if this is this way for you, but for me, now everything I do, like everything I think, everything I do, like there's this kind of battle going on in my mind. Am I going to do right or am I going to do wrong? Am I going to do what I want to do or am I going to obey Jesus? And I don't even have to go beyond my life with my wife, Wanda. I don't even have to go into the world or into the church life, just in my relationship with my wife. I just wake up in the morning and I have these thoughts and I'm thinking, well, should I say this or should I point that out or should I compliment this? I mean, I just want to try to say the things that are going to be good and that are going to be pleasing. And certainly, as I walk around in life and in the world, just as a Christian, my mind is always like, is it just me or does that happen to you too? You see, when I was blind, I didn't have these thoughts. But since my mind has been awakened and since I have the mind of Christ, I've got these thoughts going on in my head all the time. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Nobody, unless God changes their heart and their mind. Who knows enough to teach him? Well, no one to even understand or to speak in his name, but only if your heart and mind have been changed. But we understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. Good news, your mind is blessed. If you're happy about that, say amen. Well, that's why you're here, isn't it? Because, like, come on, let's be honest. What fool would get up when it's so cold and come to church at this day? Only those whose minds have been changed. Only those who are not fools, but actually they're fools for Christ. Your new mind is blessed. And so since you have this new mind, and since your mind is now in a default position. You know what the Christian's default position is? To obey God. I never had that default position before, but now I do. My default position is to love God. It's to please God. My default position is to serve God. My default position is to be more like Jesus. And so since now you have this new mind as well, not only your heart. And like I say, I can't wait until my mind is changed when I see Jesus. But until then, I'm going to have to remind myself of God's command. And this is what you're going to need to do too. Because how you control now the thoughts in your mind has a lot to do not only with your life down here, but it has a lot to do with your eternal life in heaven. This is how we are to love the Lord. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your right. Say it again, all your. And so that's it. You see, what I think is not up to me if I'm a Christian. What I think is up to him. What I think is up to God. And I have to love God with all of my mind. So remind yourself that that's God's command for you. And let the Holy Spirit renew your mind. That's what's happening right now. You're here, and your mind is being renewed. Why? Because you opened up your heart to Jesus. You began to sing. The Bible says where two or three people are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And so good for you that you're here. As you're here, your mind is being renewed. And I want to tell you something. It's being renewed because you're hearing from the Word of God today. This is the Word of God. This is not the thoughts of man. This is the Word of God concerning your mind. And so as you bring your mind under the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is renewing your mind. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And there's a real payoff, not only today, but for all of eternity. There's a real payoff when you allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. When you at home now take this book, when you at home take this book and you begin to read it when nobody's looking, just Jesus, you just open it up and you begin to study this book. You bring your heart and your mind into this book. You know what happens? God not only renews your mind, but this will reveal God's perfect plan for your life. God has a perfect plan for you, every one of you in this room. God has a perfect plan for you. God has a perfect plan for us. He has a perfect plan for Southside Pentecostal Assembly, for a Spa for Life. God has a perfect plan for us. And as you remind yourself and renew your mind, God's perfect plan will be revealed in your life. Even as you live in this world, the scripture says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by going to church on Sunday mornings. Let God transform you into a new person by putting money in the offering plate. Let God transform you into a new person by serving in a ministry. No. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you... Because I'll tell you what, when you change the way you think, you'll change what you do. You'll change what you spend your time with. You'll change what you do with your money. You'll change what you do with your talent when you change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, look, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Your mind was blind. There was a time that your mind was blind. But now your mind is blessed. And good news, even in this evil world, your new mind is battle ready. Once your heart was dead, now it's alive. Once your mind was blind, now you can see. And now that you can see and you can renew your mind and renew your thinking, you can be transformed by the grace of God, your new mind is battle ready, even in this world of darkness. I'm really looking forward now. I've been telling you that I'm going to be preaching a series on the end times. I'm really excited in February, the first 3 weeks of February, I'm going to be preaching in the morning a series on the end times. And I'm really looking forward to sharing that with all of us. But your new mind is battle ready. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. I want you to know something. Sometimes if we look back in our family lineage, like maybe our mom or our dad or our grandma or our grandpa, sometimes we may see patterns of behavior that are not good patterns. You might see a pattern of anger. You might see a pattern of gossip. You might see a pattern of abuse or different patterns that are not godly. I've got good news for you. You can break those generational curses and walk into a time of generational blessing. You're not bound by your upbringing. You're not bound by the mother or father, or just the father if you didn't have a mother with you, or the mother if you didn't have a father with you. You're not bound by that upbringing. God has created you to have a new life in Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. And so you can throw off the, you can be, even if you say, you know what, nobody in my lineage served Jesus. Nobody in my family line knew the Lord. Guess what? God saved you so that some of them that are still living, they're going to find Jesus, and the ones that come behind you are going to know Jesus. That's God's plan. And your new mind is battle ready even in this day of darkness. And the good news is this, you are now empowered to obey. You have a power to obey. Like, you don't wake up as a Christian in the morning and think, where am I going to go sin? No, you wake up and you think, Lord, direct my steps, order my path. You know, that you're empowered by God to obey. And obedience, before it's something that we do, is something that we think. Can you track with me on that? If you want to see new behaviors in your life, new obediences in your life, before you actually get to do that thing, it's something that you think up here. It's something that you believe up here. It's something that you're empowered to obey. And just as you have a real enemy who wants to defeat you and who wants to hold you down and wants to take you on the pathway that is less than God's very best, I've got good news for you. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Would you please say divine power? You have divine power over your thought life. I've got good news for you, friends. You are not captive to thoughts in your mind. You don't have to let thoughts ruin your destiny. Somebody said it this way. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head. And that's true. Like you can't stop a bird from flying over. I remember when I was in high school, I went to watch a football game, and I went to high school LaSalle. Our team was called the LaSalle Lancers. I had a nice LaSalle Lancers windbreaker on, and a seagull pooped right on my shoulder. It was black. It was a black shirt. Poop, big white thing. Like, it's just sitting there, right, and in front of all my friends, and people were laughing. Can you imagine if I just left it there? And I just started talking to people. Hey, how you doing? Got this big poop on my shoulder, you know. No, I didn't. I took off my jacket. I went into the boys' room, and I cleaned it off and shook it out. And I said, ah. Like, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head. But in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, you can stop the birds from building a nest up there. You're not captive to your evil thoughts. You're not captive to the enemy's intentions for your life. You, as a child of God, are powered to obey by the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You're a winner, friend. You're empowered to obey. We have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here's the war that goes on in my head. I can take captive every thought before it becomes a word. I can take captive every thought before it becomes an action. Not because I'm so great, but because God is great. And you, my dear brother and sister, we take captive every thought and make it what? Say it. Obedient. Say it again. Obedient to Christ. Circle that word, obedient. You're empowered to obey in your mind. And I'll tell you something, friends. Until you see Jesus, you're going to be tempted. And there's nothing wrong with being tempted. Do you remember after Jesus was baptized and after the Father, you know, sent the Spirit as a dove, like to show that they were one, and the voice from heaven came, "This is my Son." Do you remember immediately where the Holy Spirit led Jesus after his baptism? Where did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus? Into the wilderness. And why did the Holy Spirit, not only does it tell us who led Jesus, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness? To tempt him. There's nothing wrong with temptation. Listen, if you're hoping, "Oh God, take temptation away." No, that's not what Jesus taught us to pray, is it? He said, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, Lord. And so you're empowered to obey. You can take that thought life and you can make it obedient. But Christian, listen, when you are tempted, I've got good news for you. God always provides an escape route for you. And I really like this graphic that I found. Because you know what? We might be on the road of life and all of a sudden we come to something and we think, "Wow, God, if that's your path for me, God, if that's your plan for me, I don't think I can get up there." But you know what I really like about this graphic? You can only see about 13, 14, or 15 feet up the roadway there. And you know what? The top of that roadway, there could crest like this, and there might just be a little downhill where you feel the wind of the Spirit at your back, and then there might be another spot for you to follow. God always provides a way out for you. And I'll tell you what, if you can't physically get up that road yourself, he'll just send a few angels and take you right up there when you say, "Jesus, help me." He'll just let you go right up that pathway. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Listen, if there's a pattern that's been in your life, Christian, that you've lived with, and it's become a pattern that you hate, I've got great news for you. At the end of this message today, you're going to have a chance to respond and let God change your thinking so that your saying and doing will also line up with the freedom that God has for you. Your new mind is battle ready, and even though we're living in a day of evil, friends, you can stand in victory in this world of evil. You can stand in victory in this world of evil. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Now, probably if you've grown up in the church and maybe you were a part of Sunday school. Now, Sunday school, by the way, started today. So did our adult life group start. And every Sunday from 9:15 till 10:15, we have a time of inductive Bible studies. And you know what happens when people come to these inductive Bible studies? Their thinking is changed. And because their thinking is changed, their lives are changed. You know what happens when you join a life group? You discover more of the life of Jesus Christ, and your life is changed. That's why we have Sunday Morning Alive every Sunday morning. So if you want to consider that, there's all kinds of good information to you for you to come, and you'll just be blessed. But if you've grown up in the church, you probably are familiar with the various pieces of God's armor: the belt with the buckle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the the shoes of the gospel, the preparation of peace, the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times and in all places. This is the armor of God. But one of those pieces of armor is the helmet. Everybody say helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is your thought protector. That's what it is. The helmet of salvation is that which protects your thoughts. I really enjoyed one of the sessions that Pastor Sue led during our week of prayer. She was telling me how that she teaches the armor of God to her kids. And I would encourage you to do this in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn, not now, but when you go home, turn there and just put your name in there. So say, I put on the belt with the buckle of truth. I put on the breastplate of God's righteousness. Or even put your name. Doug puts on the helmet of salvation. Like literally say it and speak it. You can stand, friends, in this world of evil. So your mind was blind, but your new mind is blessed. Your new mind is battle ready. And I've got great news for you. Your new mind is bright. Your future is bright. Your destiny is filled with great hope. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. Would you please underline that sentence? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And you know what's funny? Even as I'm preaching this message, I know that some of you are thinking about lunch. You're just thinking, where am I going to go for lunch? Some of you are thinking about the roast that's in. I hope he doesn't go overtime because my roast is going to burn. Some of you, you received an email or a text message and you just responded to that a few minutes ago. Stop that! Not because it's me. Did you come here to think about lunch? Did you come here to think about the international dessert night? You passed that test. Good for you. Yeah, listen, I know we're human, right? We're human. But your new mind is bright. Think about the things of heaven. Oh, when you come into this, I mean, look around this room. These are people that you're going to spend all of eternity with. So let's love one another and come into relationship with one another. And tonight, when we have our international dessert night, we're just going to have really a really short time. We'll sing a couple of choruses. We're going to take a couple of testimonies, take up an offering. Probably by 20 after 6, 25 after 6, we're going to be over there enjoying just some fellowship and catching up on what happened over the holiday season and getting to know a couple of new people that we're going to be living with forever. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Listen, Christian, there's a lot of great things that we get to enjoy down here on planet Earth. Isn't that true? There's a lot of blessings down here. But here's the deal. Whether you live for 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100 years, that's just a vapor. Your real life, everybody say real life. Your real life is in heaven. And how you allow your heart to affect your mind, and then how you shape your thought life and what you do with those thoughts, that's going to affect your life forever in eternity. So think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, because your real life is in heaven with Christ in God. So here's what I want my life to be like in a greater measure in 2020, and I pray it's true for you too. Allow the searchlight of God to maximize your life. Like, don't just settle for believing in Jesus and going to heaven. Don't do that. God has so much more. Allow the searchlight of God to maximize your very short life down here. And how will you do that? Well, you have to be like the psalmist who prayed this prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The path of God for you, Christian, is always up. It's always higher. It's always holy. It's always good. Allow the searchlight of God to maximize your life and align with the Spirit of God to mature your thoughts. I like this simple mathematical picture. It's faith over fear. our lives are faith over fear. Now, there's a lot of things that sometimes make us fearful. Sometimes there's circumstances that come into our very own lives personally that could make us fearful. Sometimes in our family circumstance, there are things that come into our lives that could make us fearful. In our business world, there are things that come into our lives that could make us fearful. In the world in general, listen, I don't know whether you prefer CNN or Fox News. That's like, it's like left or right, right? If you know what I'm saying. Like here it's black and here it's white. Tomorrow here it's white and here it's black. So I don't know whether you prefer CNN or Fox News or the CTV or the CBC News, but listen, I'll tell you the truth. More than 10 minutes of news a day is more than enough. Like if you're spending 2 hours looking at the news, of course you're fearful. Like there's no good news there. And I mean the news is, it's left and it's right. This is right over here and that's right over there. This is wrong over here and that's, I mean it's crazy. Align with the Spirit of God to mature your thought life. By the way, if you've been spending an hour watching the news every day, cut it back, even to a half an hour. Spend the other half an hour reading the Bible. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and I love the way that the NLT translates this verse. Self-discipline. Would you say that with me, please? Self-discipline. So here's the deal. My mind won't change all on its own, even though God's changed my heart, and even though I have the mind of Christ. It's going to take self-discipline for my mind to change and become more like Jesus. And so the prayer for my life in 2020, I pray that I'll have more self-discipline in these things. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and you might be familiar, I put the translation up from the New International Version, and a sound mind. A sound mind. That's coming to us from another translation. And you might be familiar with that, but notice that a sound mind takes self-discipline. So align with the Spirit of God to mature your thoughts. Are there things that you're anxious about? Again, good news. In just a few minutes, you'll be able to respond. We're going to be, not right now, but in a few minutes, just anointing with oil and praying a prayer of blessing on your very, very bright minds that you have. Your new mind is bright. So if there are things that you're fretting about, if there are things that you're worried about, if there are things that you're wondering about in your future, listen, God has charge of your life. So ask, and God will supply all your needs. God's promised. Jesus taught us, give us today our... Listen, I don't know if I've got tomorrow. I mean, it's not that I don't plan for tomorrow. I plan for a year and a couple of years, but I don't know that I have tomorrow. I do know that Jesus taught me to say, give us today our daily bread. So ask, and God will supply all your needs. Therefore, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him. Would everybody please say thank Him? Again, thank Him. And again, thank Him. Listen, there's all of us have one or two things that we could focus on that would make us grumpy. All of us, I think, unless you're living in heaven already, you've got one or two things that can bring you down. But if you choose to thank God for what He's done, if you choose to thank Him for the blessings that He's given to you, do you know what happens? Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So do you know what I learned by preparing this message and by preaching it to myself before I preached it to you? And do you know what I want to share with you? I've got good news for you. You're a lot smarter today than before you came here. You have a very bright mind, and you have a very good and godly future. Your mind was blind, but now your mind is blessed, and even in this evil day, your mind is battle ready. And your new mind, this new mind that Christ has given to you, it is bright. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Now I'd like to ask board members that are here to come and to receive from Pastor Karsten some anointing oil. And we're going to stand right here. And in a minute, we're going to pray a prayer of blessing. I mean, it's not going to take a whole long time. It's just going to be that time to come up to say, Lord, I'm just bringing you myself once again. And I'm I'm wanting to have this new mind that is in me to be refined and blessed. I want you to listen to the admonition that comes out of James. Are any of you suffering hardships? Well, you should pray. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is the mind. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? Well, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. You know what happens when we continue to ask and seek and knock? God just says, yep, I'm coming. Yep, it's happening. We're just standing in faith. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Thank God. I mean, all of us have committed sins. But you could just come today saying, God, I just want to make a fresh commitment to you to walk in the newness of my mind that you've destined for me. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Would you stand with me? And we're going to close in just a moment. But before we do, if you want to come and just say, Lord, I want to serve in the fullness of a brand new mind. Begin to come, be anointed, come and sing, and then we're going to pray. Let's sing together, Pastor Jason. I just want you to say this with me from your heart now. Jesus, you're all that I need. And so, Father, we just come into your throne room of grace right now. You've told us that we can come into your throne room of grace, and there we're not going to be slapped, we're not going to be punished. We're not going to be having a finger pointed at us saying, I told you so. No, no, no. You said you can come boldly into the throne room of grace. And there you are going to receive grace and you are going to receive mercy to help you in your time of need. And so, Father, it's a pretty simple declaration that those of us who are standing here, and even those of us that are here, And we just maybe didn't come forward, but we're just making the same declaration. It's a pretty simple declaration that we're making here today. You've put a new heart in us, Lord. You've put a brand new mind in us. Once we were blind, but now we can see. The mind that you put in us is blessed. The mind that you put in us is battle ready. And the mind that you have put in us, Lord, is going to be that which we are going to submit to. Would you say it again? Jesus, you're all that I need. And again, Jesus, you're all that I need. And so, Lord, we're counting on your mighty power. We're counting on your mighty strength, not only to take us through this day, but to take us through all of our tomorrows. And we just give you praise, Lord, that your grace got a hold of our lives. We're going to love you, and we're going to serve you with all of our heart and all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And everyone said,